All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, how to get right with God. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right with God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We hope your day is going well, and we thank you for taking a few minutes of your day to listen along with us as we continue with Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Ephesians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, "You are God's gift." Now, Pastor Bill.
There are those that teach that Jesus did descend into the lower parts of the earth. I personally believe that. The Bible says that it does. And he did speak to the righteous ones, the ones that believe to the Lord. And I believe that when he led captivity captive, that's who he took back to heaven with him, or were the saints that were there. Remember what Jesus said? He says to the guy on the cross, the two thieves, he says, "Today you will be in paradise with me." And that's exactly where Jesus went. Now, some teach that he didn't go to paradise, he went to hell. I don't believe that at all. Not at all. I believe the Bible is very clear where Jesus went. But here's one thing we know for sure. When Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he ascended upon high, loved one, he gave every one of us a gift and a measure of grace to operate in that gift. Meaning to his church. And then he lists some of the gifts that Jesus gave. Now watch this. This is not anywhere exhaustive. You know that. And he himself, verse 11, nobody else but Jesus, he himself, look what he did. He gave some, not all, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastor and teachers. Now, Jesus did that. Seminaries don't produce pastors. If they're called to be a pastor by God, they certainly help them. But no, only Jesus himself, not seminaries, not institutions, not mission boards. No, these are divine offices established by Christ, the ascended Christ. When he sat down, then God poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, loved one. Listen, Jesus himself gives certain gifts to men. Again, these are not exhaustive, but he gives certain gifts to men. Why? He then gives these men, these women, as gifts to the church. Loved one, you are God's gift to the body of Christ. You need to see yourself that way. What is an apostle? It's simply one who was sent on commission by the Lord, the ambassadors. But listen carefully. There were only 12, all right? Maybe there were more, but so forth. But there were the 12 that he's speaking of here, I'm sure. And the qualifications for a true apostle of Christ, remember, it says in Acts 1:21, he had to be a witness to the entire earthly ministry of Jesus from the baptism of John to his ascension. That's the qualification. Are apostles with us today? Well, there are those who are certainly church planters that go out and that's their calling and so forth. But there's not any apostles that are writing Scripture. Does that make sense? In other words, they're not receiving direct revelation from God to pen Scripture. That's not happening today. The New Testament, loved one, is closed. It is completed. And then there are prophets, not the gift of prophecy. You know, the gift of prophecy we can all operate in. You know, it speaks edification, comfort, and exhortation to the believer, 1 Corinthians 14:3. No, this is the office of a prophet who foretells or whatnot, but listen carefully now. A word, when you get a word, say the person, okay, I'm prophesying or whatever. You get a word from God, that never supersedes. The word that man gives never supersedes the word of God. The word of God is always our final authority. And then evangelist. Well, Philip was an evangelist and so forth. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Matter of fact, we are all fishers of men. And the next one, pastor teacher. That's what I am. I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher. Matter of fact, in the Greek, it's one word. So it has a dual function, if you will. It's one office. The word pastor, as we all know, it means shepherds. And what do shepherds do? They take care of the flock. You know, they love the flock. They preach God's word, you know, to the sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. That's just the way God set it up. Pray that we have good shepherds. And they teach the word of God. Now listen, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, Sunday school teachers, whatever it might be, these are not professional people. You understand? The ministry is not a profession. It's a calling, loved one. And Jesus' gift to me, and I didn't know, but I thank God, I am a pastor teacher. I didn't earn it, and I didn't even learn it. That's how it happens. It's not something that I have. It's something that it's a gift from heaven that God has given unto me. And one of the greatest deceptions in the body of Christ today is believing that the pastor can do it all. Loved one, number one, never elevate the pastor. He loves you, but you know what? If he's gifted, just say, God, thank you. Say thank you for Bill, because we know that that moron Bill could not do it on his own. Amen? No, it's not about me. It's about the gift that he has placed in me, okay? But if for you to believe, or any Christian to believe, that the pastor must do it all, you can't do it all. And that's why so many pastors today, they quit. They're falling away. 18 months, they just fall away. They feel like they're emotional failures. I pray that you don't ever think that I can do it all. I can't do it. I can do what God's gifted me to do. I can operate in the measure of grace, but I need you. Listen, my role is to equip you, okay? Now, and by teaching you God's word, look at verse 11 again. And he himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, and look why, for the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry, the purpose, for the edifying, the building up, not tearing down, the building up of the body of Christ. The word equipping simply just means to equip for service, to cause something to be ready for its assigned purpose. Pastors equip. My equipment is God's word, loved one. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, all 66 books, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, remember, is teaching. Teaching you what is right, if you will. It's profitable for reproof. In other words, to tell you what's wrong. It's profitable for correction, how to get right with God. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right with God. For the man of God, the woman of God, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, there's that word, thoroughly equipped for every good word. You've heard me say it a million times. Without God's word, you are not equipped and you are incomplete. So the work of the ministry, and loved one, listen, that's who you are. I equip you through God's teaching, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace that's given unto me, and you now are the ministers. I'm the administrator. You're the ministers. You're the one that goes out into the world. I'm fulfilling my calling and my gifting. Now you go do yours. You're being equipped to do whatever God wants you to do. And listen, it says the work of the ministry, and ministry is work. And it's for the edifying, the building up, if you will, the expanding of the body of Christ. And look at the purpose, God's purpose. Until we all, every believer, the body of Christ over the world, until we all, each one, come to the unity of the faith. The word come means to arrive at. It speaks, that it's a goal, if you will. It was something that we're continuously doing. Arrive at the unity of the faith. Faith meaning the entire word of God. He says, and the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God, meaning full, accurate. We know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, to a perfect man. Man, not a little boy, not a little girl, not a baby, not a child. To the perfect man. That word literally means full-grown man, and it's singular, so it speaks then of the entire church. It says, here it comes, that word again, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that is true, real maturity, loved one. That is the perfect man. So the first evidence of spiritual maturity is what? Christ's likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's where the Holy Spirit of God, what is he doing? He's transforming us, changing us, how? Into the image of Christ, from glory to glory to glory to glory. Listen, You can't arrive unless you know doctrine. There's no way. You have to know God's word, God's truth. Christian progress, Christian maturity, Christian growth depends on the truth of God's word. What did Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now listen, the sad result, you are God's gift. You've been gifted. Jesus himself has given you a gift. And think of the sad result for believers who don't grow, that they remain babies. They never become spiritually mature, that perfect man. You know what children and babies do? They unknowingly refuse to get involved in the body of Christ. Oh, they're here. They're in the body. But the fact of the matter, they refuse to use the gift that Jesus has given them and the measure of grace to operate that gift in. Oh, how sad is that? They're stuck in glory. They're not moving on. Born again, but that's it. That's it. They're not going any further. And look what happens. It says, if you're stuck there, loved one, look, that we should no longer be what? Children, little babies, okay? Babies is the opposite, or children's the opposite of the perfect mature man. And look what happens. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, false teaching that seems and sounds appealing to you. You know, every wind of doctrine, that's false teaching. Boy, and I'll tell you something, they blow the unstable Christian in every different directions. And someone who is a child and not growing up, they have truth. They have just enough truth. But when they hear something they don't understand that some of the false teacher is teaching, it unsettles them because they don't know God's word. Why? Because of the methods that they use. Look at it in verse 14 again. By the trickery of men, meaning their talent, they have talent to scheme, if you will, by the cunning craftiness, those are those who peddle the word of God, especially for money. It says, and deceitful plotting. They are gifted in inventing error, making a lie sound like the truth of God. They're always fleecing sheep. They are never feeding sheep. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:15? He says, beware, be on guard for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They look like sheep, Jesus says. They act like sheep. They might even talk like sheep. How does a false teacher deceive? A false teacher deceives the sheep by impersonating a shepherd, but he is not a shepherd. These guys are not misguided Christians. Oh, gosh, they're not misguided. Oh, no, they know what they're doing. Jesus said, let me tell you what they are. They are ravenous wolves. They're looking to chew you up, and they are starving. They're always looking for a victim. The mature believer, loved one, you are God's gift. And, you know, the mature believer is stable in doctrine. You know what you believe. It's hard to deceive false teachers. If you're strong in doctrine in the Word of God, it's hard to be deceived by a false teacher because you know the Bible. See, spiritual maturity can always be measured. You can measure if you're growing or not. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, hears and does, okay? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, meaning Jesus' sayings. Man, you're solid. You have a strong foundation. The winds come, the storms come, the floods come, but that house doesn't fall. Jesus said, but he who hears my words and does not do them is like a man who built his house upon the sand. And here comes the floods and da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus said, and great was the fall of that house. Loved one, listen. We have to be wise. A Christian that is not anchored in the word of God, man, they are open for every counterfeit movement that comes along. See, every believer must have a biblical worldview. If you don't have a biblical worldview, you know, I mean, please don't get me wrong. I don't mean to be critical. But if you don't, that means you're going to be a dummy. You don't want to be a dummy. Listen, I've got dummies sitting here right now. Matter of fact, here's a dummy. Look at this guy. You see this guy? He's a dummy. Yeah, look at this. Are you a dummy? Yes, I'm a dummy. Why are you a dummy? I'm sorry. I'm lonely up here. Look at that. He even has a cross. See that? Oh, you're religious. Yes. Oh, what do you do? Sit in the pew. He's a dummy. We are not dummies. We are God's gift. So what do? But speaking the truth in love, look what happens when you do, may grow up in all things into our literally in perfect union with Jesus, with him who is the head, Christ. Listen, the body of Christ, God's gifts. All of us are God's gift. We should act like the head of the church because we belong to him. He is in us. So the second characteristic of a mature believer is love. We walk in love. Man, listen, love is the identifying mark of every believer. You know, there's an emphasis on love in our text. If you look at 4:2, Ephesians 4:2, it says, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:16, the edifying itself in love. What does that mean? It means love is a circulatory system of the body of Christ. That's who we are. We're God's gift. That's why we obey. We want to obey the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, strength, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself. That's one of the vision scriptures for this church. The new commandment, John 13:34, Jesus said, that you love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. By this, the whole world will know that you are my disciples. Oh, that love is so important because love, loved one, never fails. It says, speaking the truth in love. What truth is that? Well, that's speaking God's word to everyone, sharing God's word, sharing the good news. And loved one, now listen, that is true maturity. You see, for someone, it is tragic when a Christian speaks the word of God and doesn't use love. Oh, and reaches out and hurts people with it, condemns people. Listen, Jesus didn't come to condemn, he came to save the world. No, listen. Oh, the word of God is meant to save. We don't want to dispense the gospel, the good news, and make it bad news, make it cold as ice, or use the word of God to slap people around. We want to use God's word to save people. Now, the final characteristic, watch this, of the mature believer, meaning you're God's gift to the body of Christ. Listen to what you do. The final characteristic, God's gift does his, her share in the body of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which, here it comes, every part of God's gift, each one of us, does its share, and look what happens, causes growth in the body for the edifying, that word means to build itself up in love. Every part, every believer, every member in the body of Christ does its share. Why? You're God's gift. He gifted you when he ascended upon high. And listen, we need you. I need you. We need each other. Inactive Christians produce a dysfunctional body. It says every part does its share. Now, you're God's gift. So what does that mean? It means the gift that God has given you for the body of Christ. He's also given you the perfect measure of divine favor or grace to operate in your gifting. You don't even have to be afraid. You just step out and Lord will help you do all of it together. Listen, God chose you before the foundation of the world. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's adopted you. He's accepted you. He's given you access to God. He's redeemed you. He has forgiven you. He has sealed you. He has seated you with Christ. All those things belong to you, loved one. And Jesus has given you a gift. He's given you the exact measure of grace to operate and use your gift. And he has placed you in the exact place in his body. You are God's gift to the body of Christ. Let me give you this scripture here. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:14, for in fact the body of Christ, is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, I don't belong to you, okay? He says, is it therefore not the body or a member of the body? He says, if the ear should say, because, well, I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, I don't belong to the body, is therefore not of the body. Or if the whole body were an eye, would there be any hearing? If the whole body were hearing, would there be any smelling? But now, here it is. Now listen, but now God has set the members of Christ's body, each one of them, your God's gift, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Don't challenge God's word. He knows where you need to be in the body of Christ. Listen, we need every part. Listen, every part does what the other part doesn't do. My nose smells. Okay, I smell, and my nose not personally smells, but it smells other things. Amen? My eyes can't do that. My ears can't do that. My ears hear. That's what they are made for. That's a gift. I can hear, but it can't smell. Do you see how important you are, how vital you are? You know, listen, God has a perfect will, and my body has a single will. Everything in my body, listen, I want it to all be working together. I don't want any schisms, divisions. I want everything to work out perfectly. I want my eyes to see. I want my feet to walk. Do you understand? I want them to do what God created them to do. Jesus is the head of the church. It's either going to be your will or his will. I pray it's his will. You see, because you are God's gift. You're God's gift. You're unique. Listen, everything in my body is unique. My hand cannot replace my heart. Does that make sense? I would die. Oh, no, listen, no organ can take the place of my heart. There's only one heart in my body. You have been given a perfect gift. You've been given the perfect measurement of grace to operate your gift from Jesus. Now, listen to me. You're God's gift. No one can replace you. You're God's gift to the body of Christ. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. You are. Your members individually. Never forget, no matter what we're facing, no matter what is coming down the road, the second wave, the third, whatever it may be, we are the body of Christ. We have one. You are God's gift. And if you don't know Christ, listen to me now. While there is time, while time could be short, we have no idea. I beg you in Jesus' name to come to Christ. And you say, well, Bill, I'm a member of a church. Well, wonderful, but being a member of the church, meaning I joined the church, doesn't save you. That doesn't save you at all. But being a member of the body of Christ, man, that makes you God's gift. So I pray if you don't know the Lord right now, you just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. I believe in you. Be the manager now of my heart, my mind, my soul. Save me. In Jesus' name, save me. And he will. If you prayed that simple prayer, would you just send me an email at info@loveneverfails.com? And I want to send you a booklet absolutely free. Give me your address. Called or entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we are your gift, that you've placed in your body. We give you praise for that. Lord, I thank you as I pray Psalm 91 over all those that are listening, over every man, woman, and child. Lord, bless your church. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say, I love you dearly. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Word of God is so good. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast today. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow as Pastor's study from Ephesians continues with the message titled, The Empty Walk. And in the meantime, we pray the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.